I looked at him and told him he was in trouble. I'm telling you, that boy likes to get me in my feet. Monday night he made a stand up, not only for one chorus, but for two. And tonight, again. And I look at my wife and she's as bad as me. You don't know, we're getting old and we can't be as limber as what we used to be, jumping up and down like that. Anyway, it's good to see each one out tonight, but I'm going to halfway correct Brother Rupert. I think they'll be starting that for the following, not next week Thursday, but the following Thursday, because next week, Thursday, in the will of the Lord, we'll be having the teen war. It'll be taking place down at the ball field. And we're encouraging all of the teenagers to be out to that. I think that we decided that there wouldn't be any service here at the chapel next Thursday night. So we're going to encourage all of the older folks to come down and watch what's taking place down there. It's always been an exciting time for the young people. And I trust that they're getting excited about it and that we're inviting other young people, teenagers, to take part in the teen war. I'm going to ask the assembly in general to pray for us. Pray for us every, if you haven't started yet, start tonight, to pray for the teen war, because I'm sure that all of us understand the problems and the trials that our young people are facing today, probably more than ever before in their lifetime, and they need us to pray for them and pray for Brother Phil as he speaks each night. He will be speaking to the young people for at least a half an hour when he will challenge them from the Word of God and preach the gospel to them. So keep that in mind and pray for us in a special way. Next week, Wednesday, I think it starts. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Tonight, in fact, even since Brother Barron had asked me to speak, which was 2 weeks ago, my mind was on this thought. And with the help of God, I hope that maybe a few words that may be spoken tonight may be a blessing and perhaps a challenge to every single one of us that are here tonight, me especially, because I probably need it as much or more than any of you that may be gathered in our midst tonight. We're going to talk tonight about change. And for the first scripture reading, if you have your Bibles, keep them in hand, because I might be turning to a few different scriptures from time to time as we go along. But if you got your Bibles, I want us for the first reading that we're going to have tonight to turn to Romans chapter 12. I might be the last one to find it. Romans chapter 12, and just one verse there, and then I'm going to say something, okay? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says here, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Transformed is the word that stands out to me in this chapter, a change. And I got something here just so that I might catch the young one's attention. I want to just use it as a slight demonstration. This belongs to my grandson, and he allowed me to use it tonight. But because I was thinking of that one word, transformed. Now, could you all see this from, even from down the back? If I lift them. Could you see what it is? What would you think it is sitting there? Huh? Somebody saying a car, but that's right. That's what it really looks like. But in this modern age, I think they call things like that transformers or something. And what would happen is that you would take something that didn't look at all like the object and change it into something else. And really, it looks like a car. But if I was to just take it and stand it there and pull these things forward, you'd think that he was probably some gunslinger or fighter or something of that sort. It doesn't look like a car at all anymore. It's transformed itself. It's changed completely from the thing that it looked like in the beginning. All right. Now we're going to take our minds off of that. I'm going to read that verse to you once again. And do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is or know that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, I said at the offset, change. And we're living in a changing world. Every single day, probably something changes from the way that it was before to what it is today. Things change. A lot of things have changed. I've seen a lot of change take place in our island and even around the world. I don't think it's the smallest person in this gathering tonight that really hasn't seen things change or something change in their lifetime. And you know, change could be good and change could be bad. So we want to look at a few of those things tonight, a few of the good changes and a few of the bad changes, and see if we can learn some lessons from them, each one, the good and the bad. So the first one I want us to look at tonight, and it's something that every single, all of these things you've heard taught you from Sunday school. If you've been to a Sunday school anywhere in this island, you've probably been taught these things from the Word of God. So the first one we're going to look at is found in Genesis chapter 3. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture. We're going back to the creation, I guess, and the create right back to the beginning of time. And the first verse that I'm going to begin reading is going to be found in chapter 7. But just to let you know what was taking place, you remember, let me read the verse to you then first, and then that might explain it a little bit better. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, a change had taken place in Adam and Eve's life. Because prior to that, God had come down every single day. And he had walked and talked and fellowshipped with Adam and Eve. And all of us know what God had told them from the beginning, right? There was a certain tree that they were not supposed to touch. They weren't supposed to eat it. Everything else he'd given them free access to, but don't touch it. And you know the story quite well, how that Eve let the serpent deceive her, and she partook, and then Adam did the same thing. Because the woman had took it, she gave it to him, and he took it to the men. Like to blame the women for all their mistakes anyway, but really, the man was worse than the woman, because she was deceived, but we took it willfully, you know? And a change took place in Adam and Eve's life, and because that change had taken place, they were now afraid of God coming and talking to them. They didn't want to talk to God anymore. They didn't want God to find them anymore because they were in a bad state and they knew it. So what it had caused was a broken relationship between them and between God. Now, does that hit home to any of us tonight? I know it does to me. How many single times in our own personal lives that God has instructed us to do something, and we haven't done it? We disobey, we know, we disobey his voice. Sometimes we understand it quite clearly, what he's saying to us, but because of something in our own minds, we decide, well, no, I'm not going to do it. And we don't do it, and we break a special relationship between us and God through disobedience. I think one of the worst sins, I think the Bible clearly points that out to us in 1 Samuel chapter 15. One of the worst sins that we can commit is disobedience to God. When God gives us direct orders, and he tells us something to do, and we know that what we're supposed to do, and we willfully go against what he's told us to do, it breaks our hearts. And it breaks the heart of God. In 1 Samuel 15, the story's told there of how God had told Saul, you know, when you go out to battle, you go to fight these Amalekites, you make sure you destroy them utterly. Don't you leave anything, man, women, beast, whatever. You're to destroy it. And you know that he didn't do exactly what God told him to do. And then it was Samuel's duty to go and tell Saul what he had done. And let me read the words. It's 1 Samuel. And by me doing this, I may use up some time, but I want to read the words to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. It says, for rebellion, at verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being the king. Saul paid an awful price for disobeying what God had told him to do. And every single time, each and every one of us disobeys a direct order from God, we get in trouble. I don't have to tell you that, because I'm sure you've experienced it in your own life. I can truthfully say that I have. Then there's another man that made some great changes. Who would you say was probably the greatest leader that the children of Israel ever had? One of the most influential men, at least, I think. Moses, that's right. Moses was probably, I would say, I know there's Joshua, it was Joshua and some other great men too, but Moses, probably God used him in a way that he never used a lot of other people, and he was a great man amongst the children of Israel. But you remember, after God had brought them out of Egypt, they were traveling in the wilderness. God was going before them. He was making provision for them day by day. The manna came from heaven. Everything, they were fed. But somewhere along the way, they ran out of water. And all of a sudden, they started to murmur. And they started to complain. And they went to Moses, and they said to Moses, I wish you'd never brought us out of Egypt. Why did you bring us out here? We'd have rather died back home in Egypt than to thirst to death out in this wilderness. So Moses went to God, and God said to Moses, I want you to take your rod, strike the rock, and water's going to come out. And you know what? Moses obeyed the Lord, and the water came out, just like God had said, right? Ain't that how the story goes? Come on. The water came out, right? I don't believe a soul could answer me. Yeah, Brother Roddy's shaking his head, the water came out. Yes, water came forth. But time went on, and these people got thirsty again. They ran out of water. And they'd gone to Moses with the same sad story. Wish we'd have died in Israel. We'd have been better off there where we had all the onions and the leeks and the garlic and all the other stuff that we had. Now we're going to thirst to death out here in this wilderness. And Moses went to God again. And God said to Moses, now Moses, just speak to the rock, and water's going to come out. But Moses had gotten angry with the people because of their rebellion. And you know what he did? What did he do? Did he speak to the rock? No. He struck the rock again. And he didn't only strike it once. He struck it twice. He changed what God had told him to do. Now, you know what that change cost him, right? What young person could tell me what that change cost him? What happened to Moses because he disobeyed God when he smote that rock? Anybody that goes to Sunday school? Come on. That's right. God said, you're never going to enter the promised land. I'll let you see it from on top of the mountain. But because you changed and you've done what I didn't tell you to do, you're not going to see the promised land, or you're not going to enter the promised land. And Moses, after all that he had done with the children of Israel, never got that opportunity. of seeing the children of Israel march through. Now I'm going to ask you that question again. Have you ever felt as if God was leading you in a certain direction? Have you ever felt within yourself that God wanted you to do something? And you said, well, I don't know if that could be done. And I don't know if that way will work. But anyway, you're God, and you know everything. So because of that, I'm going to follow your words. I'm going to do it your way. And you saw God work miracles. You saw things happen that you never thought could happen. I've seen that happen. I don't know about you, but I've seen that happen. When I was willing to do something that maybe I thought wasn't the right way to do it, but God said, well, this is the way that I want it done. And we did it. And I seen God bless and see things happen that I never in my wildest dreams ever thought could happen. And then he's spoken many times, I'm sure to you as well as me, and I haven't obeyed his direct command. And I haven't done it the way that God said to do it. You know, the thoughts come in your mind, well, yeah, that may be a good thing, but I've got another way that I think I could do it. Probably be more fun doing it this way. Might even be a little bit more exciting doing it this way. So that's the way I'm going to do it. And then your feet get yucked out from underneath of you. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I've seen it happen. There was one man, not ashamed to use his name, one of the greatest men that I think, one, I didn't say the greatest, I said one of the greatest men that I think ever had any part to do with this assembly, Brother Allison Pender. Man that was in the leadership a long time while I was there. And that was one man that I grew to have an awesome fear of God about. Because I often sat in meetings with him and we would talk about doing things a certain way or doing something and he would say, well, I don't think we should do that. I think we should do so and so different. And for some reason or another, we went against what he said, and bingo, just exactly what he said would happen, happened. So I told him one time, I said, Brother Allison, I've learned when you open your mouth, I'm going to keep mine shut. Smart man. He was a wise man concerning this book and the things of God. But many times, as we go through life, we often try to change the way that God has laid things out in our pathway to do. And boy, that clock is running. They were the bad things, some of the bad things that we've seen happen to people. But there are also good changes, you know. And these are the things that we should be trying to do in our own lives. Things that we know is going to make us better. Things that we know would probably enhance the Word of God. And I'm going to give you one anyway, even if I don't do both. But I'm going to give you one. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I think this one suits us all. Matthew chapter 4. And, oh, I hope I got my readers right. I think I've got it wrong. Somebody did this the other day, and I said, how in the world could he get his things mixed up? But I've got it right now. Okay, no, I don't. All right, we're on track. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, this is the verse that I want you to listen to. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, if I was to ask that question here tonight, all the fishermen, Are you looking for a different job? Would you like to have a different job change from what you got? How many men would like to have a different change? Oh, there we go. Jeremy, you're the first to raise your hand. But that's true. You know, some of us would like to change, I guess, the job that we're in. But these two men, that's what they were. They were fishermen. They were involved in fishing. They had their nets in. That's what they were doing when Jesus met them. They were casting the nets and they were fishing. And Jesus looked at them and he said to them, now look, you might have been fishermen before, but I've got a change that I want to take place in your lives. Instead of you being fishermen catching fish, now I want you to become fishers of men. Or I want you to go with me, walk with me, and help me to win men and women to God. Different change took place in their life. And I guarantee you, they didn't always do everything that they should have done, but Simon Peter especially went on to become a stalwart for the Lord, written some of the books of the Bible, and you know all the things that Peter did, a great and powerful man, because he allowed God to change his life. Instead of being a fisherman, he became a fisherman, winning men for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a job that every single one of us in here tonight that are truly born-again Christians should be doing. We should be involved in that one. That should be one work that we're involved in, that we want to be fishermen, winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there was another change, and I'm just going to mention this briefly. I'm not going to turn to it. There were two men that were hanged beside the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know the story well, two robbers. One railed and mocked at him and cursed and did everything in the world, while the other one looked at him and said, listen, this man has done no wrong. You shouldn't be saying what you're doing. And he repented to God, and he asked the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And you remember that story well, how Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. A great change took place in that man's life. It took place at the last final moments in his life, but thank God he made a change. Now every one of us in here tonight, every single one of us, we probably made changes sometime or another in our life, and we're going to make changes. You're going to see changes every single day, but I wonder, are there going to be changes for the better, or are there going to be changes that will be for the worst? Things that will take us further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because any single time, I know this from experience, any single time that we change our walk, or we change from obeying the voice of God, we're going to fall away. We're going to get ourselves into trouble. And we're going to lose that joy that we once had. One of the saddest people that you will find in the world today, I know it, and you know it too, is a Christian that is not walking and talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're out of fellowship with him. It'll make you sad. It changes your old countenance. It changes your way of thinking. It changes your way of life. And it's an awful thing for a born-again Christian not to be walking with God. And you'll never be happy. I guarantee you that. Whenever we're away from the Lord, we're not happy. We can't be happy because there's something in our minds and in our conscience that tell us that we're doing wrong. We're doing wrong, and we need to get it right. So I wondered, maybe I'm talking to somebody here tonight. You may be in that category. I don't know. Or you may have never changed your life at all. Perhaps you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You never made a change. You're still in the same condition that you were born in. But you got that opportunity to do that tonight. If you ask him to come in, I guarantee you the greatest change that has ever taken place will take place in your heart and in your lives tonight. And I trust that you're going to do that for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he was willing to come to this earth, to go to the cross of Calvary, to die, that he might give us life, that we might have a changed heart, and that we may be able to walk with him and talk with him and have sweet communion and sweet fellowship with him. And we pray, Father, that this will be our heart's desire, that we will want to love, serve, and obey the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has commanded us to do. thank you again for this time that we've spent in your presence. And we trust, Father, now that you will part us with your blessing as we give you thanks afresh in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming. It's good to see each one out tonight. And I see some of my Abaco friends here, but Jay's going to stay on. Some of the rest, I think, of Brother Sammy's family leave to go back tomorrow. And it's been a pleasure to have them with us. And any other visitors that might be here in our midst tonight, it's been good to have you out with us as well. God bless.